Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
Welcome along to History Box! We're still trying to work our way through the four elements of the Gulliver's Travel Saga by Jonathan Swift. And we'll have another crack at doing part two, shall we? Should we just get on with it and just see if we can just fucking get through it? Because the last 2 weeks there's been very little.
Are you putting Gulliver down? Are you setting me the challenge of not deviating from the plot of Gulliver's Travels?
I'm trying to, because you're slightly ill, so I'm trying to get you while you're weak.
Okay.
And just trying to pin you down to the subject matter, see if that works.
Yeah. In the matter in hand.
Yes. It's part two. It's a voyage to Brobdingnag. June 20th, 1702 to the 3rd of June, 1706. An eventful 4 years in the life of Gulliver. He sets out after his odyssey to Lilliput with all the little people, where, of course, he was a giant. He sets out again when the sailing ship Adventure, good name for a sailing ship if you're going to have adventures, is blown off course by storms.
Maybe that's where the word adventure came from, mate.
Maybe
that
it was.
That could be the derivation of the word.
Yeah, because there's so many words and phrases that are Shakespearean that we don't really know the etymology of. And it turns out they just come from Shakespeare passages.
Like
a stitch in time. A stitch in time saves nine. I believe that's Shakespeare.
Well, it makes you realise that actually, for such a famous writer, Shakespeare had a shit vocabulary. That's why he had to keep making shit up.
Well, he didn't have a shit vocabulary. We did. Yeah. Humans did. And he just made stuff up, didn't he? Yeah.
Well, okay, if that's how you want to spin it.
I didn't know
you were working on behalf of William Shakespeare's estate.
Let the dog see the rabbit. That was Shakespeare as well.
Nah, that was Paddy. What's his name? Paddy
he
McGuinness, wasn't it?
Grace. That was Shakespeare as well.
No likey, no likey. That was Shakespeare, was it? You're going to tell me that next?
Yeah.
You don't get nothing for a pair, not in this game. What was that out of the Tempest?
That was Shakespeare, yeah.
Oi, sorry, this is a deviation, but blankety blank's back, mate. Did you manage to catch any of it?
I didn't manage to catch Blankety Blank, hosted by Bradley Walsh, because I was busy watching Beat the Chasers, hosted by Bradley Walsh, which is on at exactly the same time.
What, on the other channel?
Bradley Walsh was all over the major terrestrial channels, overlapping at the same time
on Saturday night.
Yeah.
That's insanity. That's a proper war, that is, isn't it?
It's childish, I think. It's fucking childish.
Well, I don't think the BBC should be getting into that sort of shit. I think they should rise above it and just put on Attenborough. At that time of night, and just say, look, if you want mindless game shows, then watch ITV, that's what it's for. But we're going to tell you about the life cycle of the fucking grasshopper, you cunts.
As I always say, when Question Time's on, just fucking stick some Looney Tunes cartoons on instead.
Yeah.
Everybody would sit around and watch them, surely. Surely.
Does Question Time still go on? Is that still a program?
It's still a thing. I used to, like, have to live tweet it for the Sunday People Twitter account years ago, so yeah. I was employed to do it. And then as soon as that stopped, for me personally, I stopped watching it because it was just fucking unbearable.
Well, now, like, life's just one big Question Time. I mean, when I was a kid, it'd come on, you think, oh, no, what the fuck's this? Oh, I'm going to bed. This is fucking depressing, right?
With Robin Day scaring doing it. Scaring the shit out of everyone.
Yeah, fucking terrifying cunt. What do all these fuckers want? I'm going to bed. But then you get my older thing, I might give it a bit of watch. Peter Sisson, see what he's got to say. He did it for a little while, didn't he?
It did, but, yeah, Sissons.
And then I got into it for a while, but then around about 2015, fucking life generally became one big question time where every cunt on social media, every cunt in the pub, every cunt in the street, everyone's got a big fucking opinion on something or other to do with politics. And it's just fucking so boring and exhausting and so toxic. And you think the last thing the world needs now is a fucking television programme doing a watered-down version of it.
Yeah.
Blankety-blank, on the other hand, I was happy to see back. Okay, I mean, it'd never be good, never be as good without the classics of Wogan or...
or Les Dawson.
Les Dawson, who was the king. But they had a good lineup, really having good. They must have spent proper money on it.
I think Bradley Walsh is top-tier late entertainment. I think he's brilliant.
Yeah. I don't know loads about him. He seems like a nice lad.
Yeah, genuine.
I can
genuine
see why
funny.
He's popular.
Yeah.
But the they had Jimmy Carr. Like, Jimmy Carr is, like, you know, whether you like him or not, he's, like, a top TV talent. I mean,
big
costs
time.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
He's the sort of bloke who you would have thought they'd have got to host it, not to just sit on the panel.
Oh, God. No, I couldn't stand that. No, please.
They had Johnny Vegas. They had...
All right, yeah.
My favourite, Martine McCutcheon.
Yeah.
Fucking love McCutcheon, don't I?
Mm. And she's been quite quiet lately. That's quite a bit of a coup getting her on.
I was surprised to see her back, yeah.
She looking well?
Well, mate, she is looking well. Maybe her yoghurt money ran out because she was doing the yoghurts for a while, wasn't she?
She was, yeah.
Maybe,
I'm doing the yoghurts now. I got run over in EastEnders. I'm doing, and then I had a bit of a sing for a while. I'm doing the yoghurts now.
I'm on the yoghurts. It's a good payer. I mean, I can't stand yoghurt. That's one of the bad things about it. It's disgusting.
I was doing the singing. Well,
it's basically like runny cheese, as far as I can work out.
I was doing the singing. I was getting a bit sick of that. I says to my agent, can you get me on the yoghurts? And he says, yeah.
There's good money on the yoghurts.
I put the word out, and he did.
Got me bag on the yoghurts. That lasted for a few years. It made me so much money that I've just been living off my yoghurt money. I was a yoghurt millionaire. I've been living off the yoghurt money for the last 10 years or so. And then I go to the cashier the other day to get some money out to buy a new tiara. Fucking cash point says, sorry, you have insufficient funds to make this withdrawal.
Money.
I only wanted to get out 10 grand, 10 large. I was like, where the fuck's the yoghurt money? So I call my accountant. He goes, the yoghurt money's run dry, love. I said, right, I'm getting on to that agent. I said, is blankety blank back yet? Get me on that. That'll do as a stopgap until we find another yoghurt gig.
Funny you should say that. It is back this weekend. You can do it, so I did it. I've done it,
didn't
I? Well,
I put someone else onto it, but I can get her dumped. Who did you get? Patsy Palmer? Yeah. She's bollocks. Get her dumped and get me in there instead.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
You know, like,
We talk about just rest as a lifestyle, don't we? But there can be no more just rest than living on the yoghurt money. Getting up every morning
ultimate.
Knowing the yoghurt money's there. Fucking hell.
Imagine me and you just doing ski yoghurt adverts. Or better still, Actimel, those ones that are good for your guts.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't have to podcast ever again. We'd just turn up maybe once, twice a year at a studio.
Yeah.
Mm.
Do some yoghurt talk.
Andy, how are your guts? Oh, they're giving me fucking jip something chronic, mate. Yeah, you want to get some of this yoghurt down your mate? I'm not quite sure how it works, but apparently the yoghurt gets down there and destroys all the bacteria in your guts and then you feel right as rain. Oh, let's have a go then. Whoa, you're right. I feel fucking great. There you go then. If you want to get ahead, get on the yoghurts.
Get on the yoghurts.
And that's it. Advert done.
Yeah. 6 months. 6 months of
see if they can
the
pay us
money.
Cash while we're there at the studios.
Yeah. Brown envelope. Yeah. That's the lifestyle for us. One day. Maybe Sam. One day. So yeah, blankety blank. I don't know how we got onto that. But was it good?
I watched about 5 minutes and I thought it was good because they hadn't tried to change it. They had all the same little musical things. Super Match Game, Super Match Gate, all that.
Super Match Game.
They had the best Super bit Match that I'd Game. Half forgotten about. I watched long enough to notice that they had the bit where they said, right, we've met all the panellists, celebrity panellists. They've all said a few funny things. Shut up now. Let's meet this week's, our first contestants. and the fucking set revolves, doesn't it?
Revolves, yeah.
And as it comes around the corner, this couple are just waving manically.
Oh, still.
And that is the fucking best bit on Blankety Blank. I mean, there are loads of good bits on Blankety Blank, but that's the best bit. And it was like, oh, back in those days when they first were doing it, when Wogan was doing it, that was probably quite high tech, some pneumatic system.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Or there was some like old guy backstage turning a lever to make the set turn. So there's something beautifully old fashioned about it. And what's nice is they haven't shot it on green screen and made them fucking emerge like Star Trek or something. They've stuck with that because they know that was the fucking best bit.
Fucking hell, brilliant. Because of course there was two rounds, wasn't there? Because two sets of two contestants.
Yeah.
So when they were out of sight, the second set of contestants were in the seats. Can you imagine being in your seat, ready to go, waiting for that set to revolve so you get on camera and do
your
game?
You'd be shitting yourself.
You'd be shitting a brick.
You'd have to be doing your breathing exercises.
Fuck! You'd need the fucking yoghurt on your guts.
There'd be bits like where you'd be like, I can't do it, and you'd get up and try to walk off. And then like the floor manager would go, no, no, no. And they'd be saying in their headphones, we've got a walker. We've got a walker. And the producer would be, well, fucking stop them. And your fucking money. Sit, get them back in that fucking seat now. We're about to revolve. Please, sit down. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. I can't do it. I can't breathe. I can't do it. I don't want to do it anymore. Let me out. Let me out of the studio. And then you lean in. You go, you sit back down in that fucking chair, right? If you take one step further, you will have... We've got your kids. You'd say anything if you're the floor manager. You go, they go, what? We've got your kids. I didn't want to tell you this, but we've got your kids. We've got them in a lockup, right? And we will kill your kids.
Here's a photograph. Look
at that. And they're holding today's paper. That's right, the Daily Express. It's all we could get.
Yeah.
Right? Well, by the time we got to newsagents, all the proper papers had sold out. So we're making them read the Daily Express, but that's not where it ends. If you try to escape before we turn, we will kill your children. Now, are you going to go on the show? Yes, I will. Good. Now sit the fuck down and stop making such a spectacle of yourself.
Here's a close-up of your daughter's hand on a desk with a hammer above it.
Your hand, your daughter, she likes drawing, I believe. Oh, yes.
Colouring.
Yes, she won a competition at her school. They designed a poster for the local leisure centre.
Yeah, well, those days could be over soon.
Our drawing days are going to be over. So we're gonna,
get in that fucking chair and do blankety blank.
We've got a nutter from Broadmoor who's going to smash her hand in with this fucking toffee hammer. All right. I'll play blankety blank. Good. Because when that fucking set rotates, all the British public want to see is you and your stupid, dozy fucking husband there waving waving and beaming your fucking heads off like your life
like
depends on it.
Tits and teeth. Tits and teeth. You cunt. You signed up
the producers in the gallery saying, threaten the kids! Threaten the kids! Do it!
You signed a contract. You knew what you were doing.
But Charles, do it! That's how it works. A little insight to how the TV industry works there, listeners.
Yeah, pretty much every game show in the background, they've got their kids.
But it's particularly important on Blankety Blank because of that moment when the set turns around. The couple have to be there. They have to be smiling and they have to be waving. There's no, you can't edit it afterwards or fix it in the post.
No.
They have to fucking be there in their seats. If not, the whole fucking program's ruined.
They've only got so much petrol for that revolving set, and if they have to do more than one take, it'll run out. So
there's a fucking fuel crisis.
They've only got so much set petrol. Fucking get him in that seat now. Strap him in.
The whole of Blankety Blank is dependent on 4-star petrol.
So it was good then. Good watch, yeah?
The 5 minutes and I saw, I approved of.
Were the contestants genuine civilians? They weren't celebrities as well, were they?
No, they were civilians. Yeah,
that's good. That's good, because there's far too few civilians now in game shows.
Jalapeño.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Jalapeño.
I watched a bit of A Question of Sport the other night, accidentally, with new presenter Paddy McGuinness.
Well, he's doing A Question of Sport. They used to always have a sports presenter do it.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. And one of the fucking contestants was Jamie Lang from Made in Chelsea, who I believe is not a sportsman. So it's now just God. A question of bants rather than a question of sport. No. I know. That's Bill
Well,
Beaumont.
They're trying to make it compete with that James Corden programme that Sky do.
Probably, yeah. That thing, yeah. A league of their own, which is now spun off into some kind of travel log bants.
Top fucking, Gear bants thing.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's all like, here's three white blokes going around in a car acting the cunt everywhere.
Yeah, that's basically it, yeah.
I thought
Jimmy
we were supposed to be past
Carr
all that.
It? I don't think he's.
No wonder TV's fucked. Like, all they can fucking. All they can think of is the same, like, stupid bollocks of people. Like, let's get these fucking cunts to go around being cunts all over the place. Fucking Top Gear. There's that one with Gino Ginelli and fucking Chef Ramsay going around cunting it out. No. And some other bloke they've got with them.
Cunplane, I think it's called.
Yeah. What? Who wants to fucking watch that?
And the fucking lad from First Dates. Well, we'd take it. We'd bite their hand off if they offered us any of that.
Do you know what? I genuinely wouldn't, mate, because, like, it's enough for me to fucking be working out our tour next month, driving around the fucking UK. They'd have to pay me a, like, literally mind-boggling fucking life-changing amount of money to embark upon some bullshit like that. Can you imagine, mate? Every day... I mean, you'd hate it more than me. All those fucking southern television producers fussing around you, telling you what to do, going, Andy, we liked what you said, but we're worried that our audience, it might not land with them, so we were thinking, we've got our scriptwriter to think of a couple of gags that are more pun-based. Could you just say these, but make them seem like spontaneous?
Natural.
Fucking TV, you're being, it's basically like, we like you.
Fuck off.
But we're going to hire you to be someone that you're not.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Yeah. We're past all that, mate. That's why we do this.
Exactly why we do this. Thanks for indulging us, everybody.
I can't be fucking asked getting up and out of the house. I'm ill today, right? But the advantage of that is I've had a shower and I came out of the shower to podcast with you and I thought, better get dressed. I was in my dressing gown, you know. And I thought, what should I put on? And then I thought, fuck that, I'll put my pyjamas back on.
Of course you can.
I'm not fucking going anywhere. I'm ill.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to do this podcast and I'm going back to bed. The pyjamas are staying on. I changed my gym jam top, obviously, because I was worried it might be smelly. But other than that, you know, that's the life that we're living.
I can't smell you over WhatsApp video. That's not
I know,
not
but
it's not an issue.
You'd be able to tell from the little wavy lines coming off of me.
I mean, you're talking about blankety-blank format there. It being classic and untouched and unchanged. And I was reminded us, there's a fellow I follow on Twitter called John Williams, who is a massive fan of old telly, like fucking properly obsessive, but not in a nerdish kind of way. He sees it for the glorious hilarity that it is. And he was tweeting the other day about watching the earliest surviving episode of The Generation Game, because it's been 50 years, I think, since the first ever episode of The Generation Game. And he says... the earliest surviving episode, a compilation of the best bits from the first series. And he talks through some of the things that's in it. And it's just textbook Generation Game gloriousness. Ballroom dancing with a dummy. Brilliant. Plate spinning. Yeah. Brilliant. Balloon animals. Brilliant. The potter's wheel.
Yeah,
you know,
oh, that's
he's
the classic.
Sitting up to make
yeah.
a pot. Genius. He says, it was all in place from the start. He says, if ever there was a series that got the format spot on first time round, this was the one. It barely changed for the next 10 years. And he's right. It was always the same. And fucking, why mess with it? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. We could come back and do the generation game. That would be good. Because we've got that rapport with people, I think.
What, so one of us would be in the Larry Grayson or Bruce role and the other one would be in the Isle of St. Clair?
Or would be in a dress, yeah.
I'll wear the dress,
toss a coin for that. You what?
I'll wear the dress if you want.
Okay.
Or we could take it in turns.
Yeah, we could do that, yeah. Take turns each week.
Who was the sexy... When it came back in about 1990 or 1989 with Brucey, they had a new sexy co-host. And she had dark hair. And I remember I had a serious sort of schoolboy. I was about 14, 15 when it came back. And she really haunted my sex dreams.
Yes. But I'll tell you now. I'm going to say the name. See if you feel triggered.
Yeah.
Rosemary Ford.
Rosemary Ford. I remember Brucey was all over her like a rash, the dirty bugger.
Well, yeah. He was a bit like that, I think.
And then, look at the tits on that. It was all that sort of stuff because this was, we're talking about late 80s, early 90s. It was
90
fine.
To 94, yeah. Rosemary Ford.
Hang on a minute. She's married to fucking Citizen Smith, according to the internet.
What?
Well, I Googled her and the first thing that comes up is loads of pictures of her with fucking with Citizen Smith.
Robert Lindsay.
I think they're married, mate.
Oh, they're in what's called a long-term relationship. Oh, they got married. 2006. Whoa, Robert Lindsay left his previous partner, who was Diana Weston, who was in, what was it called again?
Oh, she was...
The Upper Hand with Joe McGann. Remember that?
Yes. Bloody hell, Lindsay gets around, doesn't he?
What a fucking spider's web of... sexy TV women, that is. Jesus. Lindsay.
I've Googled Diana Weston. I can see he's got a type. And not to put too fine a point on it, Robert Lindsay loves big tits.
Citizen Smith, you dirty bastard.
You fucking bastard. They're not much socialist when it comes to your love of tits. You want them all for yourself, don't you? Don't see much sharing about when it comes to tits, mate.
Yeah.
You want them all.
Socialism's all about everybody having a bit, but Robert Lindsay, Citizen Smith, he wants second helpings.
Fucking hell. Robert Lindsay. I know what he's up to. He's been sat there like me. When they brought back Generation Game, he's at a loose end. He's thought, right, fuck it. Because let's be honest, he had a fallow period between Citizen Smith and coming back with My Family. Yeah?
Yeah. I did GBH. That was good.
Yeah. Is GBH, I've never seen it. Was it based on the book by Ted Lewis? Is it a gangland thing?
That's Alan Bleasdale. That's Alan Bleasdale thing. Loosely based on...
but there was a book by Ted Lewis. But yeah, so it's not that Bleasdale,
right? No, it's not
that.
It's a Bleasdale thing.
Okay.
It's really good.
Anyway,
it's on all four.
He sat at home one night, and I seem to remember they put it on Friday nights when it came back, Generation Game.
Yeah.
And he thought, let's see who they've got. I'm going to tune in, but mainly just to see if Diana Weston, my missus, she's gone out. She's gone out with the girls somewhere. So I'm going to say I've made myself a sandwich. She left me a cheese and salad sandwich on a plate on the kitchen table with a clear bowl over the top of it to protect it from germs and flies. Right? So that's what I've got for my dinner, which is fine by me. And I know exactly what I'm going to do. She thought I'd be down the pub with the boys. But I'm going to stay in because they're bringing back... Generation game, and I, for one, cannot wait to see what bit of crumpet they've got to replace Isla St. Clair. I reckon this is a big gamble for the BBC. They can't have skimped on second-rate crumpet. Right. In fact, I'm going to get all ready for a wank. I'm going to eat my sandwich quickly.
Have a sandwich first.
digest it. That won't take long. Then I'll have my flies pre-opened. Right, the house is empty. She won't be back for hours. She's off with her silly mates. I'll have the hand cream and the Kleenex next to me ready. And then she's come out. She's gone, whoa, this is better than I fucking expected. Who's this?
It's better than Alice and Claire. Whoa.
Rosemary, what? Why? Don't get many of them to the pound.
I need to write this down.
Rosemary. What is it again? Rosemary Ford. Ford. Rosemary Ford. I'll keep an eye on her.
I'll memorise it. I can't find the pen. Ford, like the car. Ford Escort. Escort.
Rosemary. Oh. It's like it's a herb, isn't it? So think of rosemary like you have with your Sunday lamb. Oh, I love a bit of rosemary on my Sunday lamb. And then Ford, as in a Ford Mondeo. Right. Okay. Let's get to wanking. Then I'll dream up. Then what I do is I'll have a wank, and then afterwards either I'll completely forget about her, and that'll be it done. Or if I continue to think about her even post-wank, then I know this is serious.
Yeah.
So he has the wank, and he can't stop thinking about her. And that's when he starts scheming. Right, what I'm going to do is have an affair with her behind Diana Weston's back.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically this is a similar process that I went through when they brought back Generation Game, almost to the letter. But I was just Sam Delaney, unassuming schoolboy, spotty teenager, right? Yeah. Whereas Robert Lindsay was Robert Lindsay, and he thought, if I want, I can get my agent to call her agent tonight and simply say, Robert Lindsay would like to meet you. He's seen your work on Generation Game, and he thinks you're ready to step up into serious acting.
Robert Lindsay would like to meet you tomorrow in the cafe in British Home Stores at 11 o'clock. Can you be there? Of course you could.
She'd be like, oh my God, this is happening so quick. I mean, I knew that getting cast on Generation Game, Bruce Forsyth, could lead to new opportunities, but I didn't think it would happen this quickly. Suddenly, I've got a date at British Home Stores with Robert Lindsay. I'm glad you could join me. I took the liberty of ordering you a tea and a flapjack. Sit down. Now.
Oh, I like that. I like how he's done that. I like how he's taking control early on.
He's a man in control. That's what I need in my life. A real adult. Now, we're thinking of bringing back Citizen Smith. That's just what I hoped you were going to say. Yeah, that's right. But it's going to go on late after the watershed. There's going to be more sex in this one.
It's going to be merely sex.
How comfortable do you feel about fucking on camera?
It's going to be light on socialism and hard on fucking.
Yeah, he's like, he's got more mature and he's left all that communism stuff behind him. And now what he's really into is just fucking.
He's 42. He's in a relationship that he's bored with and he just wants to fuck other women.
But don't worry, there will be laughs. What'd you say?
I haven't managed to get John Sullivan convinced to sign up this time, but I'll write it. It'll not be a problem.
I'm writing it. In fact, I've got the first couple. I wrote the first couple of pages of script while I was waiting for you to show up. Here you go.
Like, we drive somewhere, the woods in the car, we do it at the back seat. That's mainly it. Add a bit of dialogue in.
Bang.
Half an hour. How hard can it be? Oh, God.
Gulliver's Travels.
Sorry, we've run out of time, Sam.
Oh, no, not again.
There's a couple of minutes, really, but I mean, it seems a shame to delve back into Gulliver's Travels at this point. Anything else you want to add? Anything else that's going on you want to mention?
I just got a bit of a cold, lad. Sorry.
You got a bit of a cold. Well, I mean, you performed quite well, considering, I think. Well, this is your only work commitment of the day. You're going to retreat back to bed now?
Definitely. Just think about Rosemary Ford. Yeah. Actually, I don't fancy her as much anymore, having looked her up. But that's fine. Taste change. I'm more into Diana Weston, if anything.
Well, I think there's going to be episodes of The Upper Hand all over YouTube, so, I mean, that could be... I could be useful.
Yeah, I might just have a binge on the upper hand, so to speak.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Sorry again, we didn't get into Gulliver's Travels. We'll try and rectify that next week. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
All the best, lesbians.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.